Our special guest speaker today is a member of our congregation, I guess that's the word. And I know her a little bit. I'm hoping to know her a great deal more, as I'm sure many of you are. She is what Ross Geller's friends would say, a real doctor. She actually has an MD, and she's had a family practice for many years. And she currently has a private practice in Brentwood where she deals with weight management and other health issues. Not only that, she's gorgeous and smart and funny, and she's a member of the board of directors too, and we're very lucky to have her. So let's welcome Dr. Sheila Hughes.
Good morning. Oh my goodness, after an introduction like that, I better be really good, huh? Well, thank you. So last week, then, if you remember, Reverend John McLean actually gave us homework. You remember what it was? No? Yes, someone said yes. Well, actually, what he asked us was, when have you been drawn close in an open, defenseless, unguarded way? You know, and I got to thinking about this, and what exactly then that mean to me? You know, and for me, then I realize it's when I start to pay more attention to a quiet yearning inside, to kind of be more, do more, to experience more in different things. So maybe when we feel this, maybe then that's really a signal then that it's really time to do something. Maybe it's time to explore then some of those gifts, those dreams, things maybe then that we have put on hold. Maybe it signals a time for us to spread our wings or even just to spread them again. You know, Catrice, wasn't he amazing? Yeah. In the first line, however, of his song, then he talks about a waterfall. And he says then, you know, water needs to flow or it stagnates. You know, and I think we are the same thing. And doesn't actually water actually stand for consciousness? So what about our dreams? And the dreams that I'm talking about are not the ones we have at night, but the dreams then that we have here and the dreams then that we have here. What are those things in those secret places of your heart? What is it then that you would secretly like to do, become, experience, or express? You know, what is it then that just lights you up inside when you think about it? So if we live another year of life, and are there any fans of Rent out here? The Broadway show? All right. How many minutes are in a year? That's right, 525,600 minutes. So if we live another year of life, then we have 525,600 minutes that we can either live by default, or then we can live by purpose, by our own purpose, you know, and not just let whatever comes or not come be our life. So, you know, really, I believe then that we are meant to do what we love. Whatever it is then that really truly means something to us, whether we're young or old, it really doesn't matter. Life should not be a drudgery that we simply endure, or reliving life already lived, or living it through someone else or somebody else. I mean, think about it. Why do you think reality TV is so popular, right? So you're living somebody else's reality. You know, even our upscale premium reality shows like the channels, what, HGTV, National Geographic, Food Channel, or my personal favorites, House Hunters International and Say Yes to the Dress. But we're living someone else's reality. Earlier this morning, then, we were talking about the new TV show Empire. Has anyone seen that? Oh my gosh, you know, I'm glad that's their reality personally and not mine, watching that. But anyway, maybe the key to life really truly is about not settling then for what's safe. allowing ourselves to really to fall in love with an idea. An idea of what you, something then that you would really love to do. Something that will push you out of bed in the morning. Now, when it's something then that we love to do, you know what? It's like being 8 years old again on the first day of summer vacation. You remember that? Oh my gosh. Oh, I gotta tell you. You know what lay before you was freedom. Oh, it was a day of great opportunity. And I was full of ambition. I was going to ride my bike up and down the street. I was going to play with Barbie in my front yard. And I might even let Ken, you know, ride in Barbie's little pink sports car with her. You know, Barbie was an independent woman, so she didn't need Ken. And I was going to terrorize the neighbors who lived in my neighborhood selling greeting cards and flower seeds. I did this every summer, so they knew I was coming. So, but you know what? What had changed? When you really think about it, not really anything. Well, it was still the beginning of summer, right? I still lived in the same house. You know, still had the same brothers and sisters, you know, and those irritating boys still lived down the street. So the only thing really then that changed, honestly, was me, was you. And it was because of our mindset. You know, it was because of our attitude. So wouldn't it be nice then to really to wake up every day with that same kind of attitude? Oh my gosh, you know, life is too short not to. You want to be able to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God, instead of, oh, good God, it's morning, right? Well, yeah, I mean, we all have those, right? But you want to have more of the former and less of the latter. But often we put our dreams on hold because of burdens of life. You know, we have other demanding responsibilities and obligations like work and children in school and finances and spouses or not, partners or not, and other commitments too as well. So we end up settling because, well, we think, you know, that's the way life is supposed to be. You know, others have or continue to have that real exciting experience. But, you know, they're the exception to the rule. That doesn't apply to us. So we settle for what's safe, for what we know how to do, you know, what our families, our friends, our spouses, our partners, and especially our culture expects us to do. But maybe that's not really enough for us. Maybe we want to do more. You know, now we adults, we're kind of funny, right? We're often ashamed of our dreams, those secret desires of our heart, those things that we want to do and be and to express, especially if it's something a little bit different than what we currently are. But, you know, I believe that when we have those dreams and desires, then that they're supposed to be there, that they are divinely given. So accept them. They're a part of who we are, and maybe they're a part of what we're supposed to be. You know what? We don't need to validate them, and we don't need to have anyone else validate them either, because if they're important to us and they're life-giving to us, then it's your dream. Be proud of it. So what happened to our ability to dream like we did when we were kids? You know, kids dream really big. They don't edit their dreams. They don't censor it. They love thinking big. You know, they're unconcerned with the how to make a dream come true. When I had my family practice, I used to do a lot of career days. And so especially what was really fun was doing the really little kids. And all the little girls wanted to be princesses and cheerleaders. And all the little boys wanted to be superheroes. And you know what? They never cared. It never occurred to them that maybe this is something that they, you know, may or may not be able to do. They were convinced. You know, now in Georgia, I have one little girl, however, little teeny tiny little girl who wanted to be a mortician. So I'm not sure where that came from. That was kind of weird. But most kids have amazing, amazing dreams and desires that they have. So, you know what? Maybe this is what's going on with us. We forget then that the world, like kids know, is full of infinite possibilities. You know, the universe is filled with that. But over time, as adults, as we mature, then we allow our dreams to become squelched or stifled. You know, we listen when someone says, oh, you can't do that, or that's not possible. You know, we even tell ourselves the same thing. Oh, I can't do that. You know, oh, that's a silly idea. Or, you know, we don't have the time, the money, the energy, the know-how, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, what happened to infinite possibility? We have to ask ourselves, do we still not have spirit within us, expressing itself through us, as us? You know, is it not the same thing then that beats our hearts, allows us to breathe, moves the planets then in their orbits? Infinite possibility is available. So maybe what we need to do is to get past the negative. So time to listen maybe to that still small inner voice and ask yourself, wow, am I really truly satisfied? And if you are, wonderful, great. But if there's that quiet yearning to grow or to change or to be more, do more, listen to it. Don't be influenced by what other people think, or, you know, don't entertain negative ideas about yourself, past or present, real or imagined. You know, really, what is that all about? Think about it. It's really, truly is about fear. Now, remember, you guys know the mnemonic for fear, right? F-E-A-R, future events appearing real. All right, you know what? We play out scenarios in our brain of disasters that have yet to occur. And you know what? The thing I have found, the smarter we are, the more creative and impressive these disasters really are. Stop using your imagination for the dark side. People, it is just as easy then to imagine something good and wonderful and blessed as it is to imagine that amazing disaster that has not yet to occur. Now, some of you who have been in class with me know that F-E-A-R, for me, it was kind of one of those dual things, future events appearing real, and also maybe former experience apparently repeating. Remember, oh gosh, people, there was that cheerleading tryout fiasco back in junior high school? Okay, let's not go there. Anyway, let's go back to your dream. You know what? Let's write them down. Let's get intimately acquainted with the what. You know, writing clarifies thought, but you got to be careful what you think and also how much. And thought causes feelings, and feelings cause action. Cheerleader, action, action, we want action. A-C-T, I-O-N. All right. Actions determine results. See, I didn't make the cheerleading squad, but I was the booster. You didn't have to try out for that. Okay, all right. So if you know what your dream is, let's think about it. Don't edit it. What would you love to do, become, experience, expressive time, money, energy, and responsibilities weren't an issue? And here's the other thing. Don't judge the value of it. You know, you don't need to save the world. You just need to be doing something then that you have dreamed of, something that wakes you up, something then that you love doing. So now then that you know your what, you need to also know your why. Because when your why becomes intimately clear to you and you have an emotional connection with it, the how will frequently appear. So now that you've done those things, all right, so let's look at it. Let's test that dream of yours. All right, number one, ask yourself, does it give me life? Yeah, check. Number two, does it align with my core values? Mm-hmm, yep. Does it require that I grow? Oh, yeah, definitely. Do I need help? Mm-hmm. Is there some good in this for others in this dream? So as John says, does it enhance your health and wholeness and doesn't diminish the health and wholeness of someone else? Yep, got it. You're going to hear the last one. Does it scare you just a little bit? Triple check. All right, so if so, it's probably just the right size. All right, so we've dreamed our dream, we've tested their dream, now you need to commit to it. And I do mean commit, people. Close the back door. You know, to the degree then that we define what we're committed to and why, then we increase the possibility, you know, of attaining or experiencing that thing exponentially. So let's go for it. You know, take that small step, even if it's just a small one. I want to read a quote to you. And this is by W.H. Murphy. He is a Scottish explorer and mountaineer. And he wrote in a book that's called The Scottish Himalaya Expedition, this. He says, "But when I said nothing had been done, I erred in one important manner." And let me tell you, this Mr. Murphy and his team, actually, when he wrote this, they were actually without sponsorship. So they were trying to get this thing figured out. So he said, "But when I said nothing had been done, I erred in one important manner. We had definitely committed ourselves and were halfway out of our ruts. We had put down our passage money, booked the sailing to Bombay. This may sound too simple, but it is great in consequence, because until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiation and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans." You want to know what that is? The moment that one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no man could have dreamt but have come his way. He says, "I learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets, whatever you can do or dream you can begin, or whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." You know, and we get a chance to remember that often the greatest obstacle, it's not the solution to what we perceive is the problem, but it's really overcoming the resistance put up by our own minds. I had an opportunity then to recently go on a spiritual retreat to Bali. I was invited as a very small group of only 8 women, and these are women who are actually just amazing, you know, CEOs and do all these wonderful different things. And I was actually, I was so thrilled then to be invited. And I thought, shoot, yeah, why not? And then I found out how much it was. And I thought, holy cow, gee, you know, how is this possible? So, and I thought about it, and I thought about this thing about commitment. You know, then once you've made the commitment, then providence then can move too. And folks, I got to tell you, just finding out what the deposit was kind of a sphincter tightening, you know, finger curling experience. And so that was on Thursday. And then Friday, then I got this call from someone working with a company called Perks, who says, "Well, you know, we represent the it was a major grocery chain, and we have 5,000 employees in the area, and we're looking for someone who does weight management, wellness, and life coaching. And you're the first one on our list." And I was like, oh my God, it works. But you know, and it really does. Now, I don't know whether I will actually get that, but it really reminded me then that, you know what, we don't have to always know the how, as long as we are confident in the why and in the what. So, you know, anyone at any age can have growth and new experiences for themselves. You know, maybe now is the time to explore that. you know, and create these new experiences. Lots of times when I, you know, a lot of people I talk to, and people tell me, oh, you know, that would be great, but oh, I'm just too old. I can't do that now. All right, well, let's do a little test. You ready? Okay, I want you to take your fingers, put your fingers on your wrist underneath your thumb. Feel a pulse? Yeah? Okay, all right. Now take that hand and put it in front of your nose. You breathing? All right, well, you know what? It's not too late. If you got a pulse and you can breathe, it's not too late. You are not too old. Now, one of the other things that lots of times that I'll tell my patients, I'll ask them when people say, oh, I can't do this or the other because I'm old. And I'll say, well, okay, all right. Well, if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? Well, you know, personally, I'd say I'm like 35 or 37. That kind of freaks my son out, though, because Cameron just turned 27. So, but anyway. So whatever your dream is, your secret desire, go for it. You know, it doesn't have to be big and earth-shattering. You know, it can be learning to write, to play, to sing, to travel, to learn a language, to volunteer, to work with children, to, you know, to learn how to fix a car, to make a quilt, you know. Anything. You know, look, we're not talking about discovering the cure for cancer or the end to world hunger. If it means something to you, and it's important to you, and you love it, and it makes you feel alive when you think about it, if it allows you to grow in ways then that you previously thought were just unimaginable, and it's a blessing to you and somebody else, then you know what? That dream is just as worthy and just as important. My dad, and I think some of you may have met him, he was here a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, from Cleveland, Ohio. So my daddy used to love to sing, and he sang when he was in high school. And when we were really small, my dad used to sing lullabies to us, which we absolutely hated. And we would tell him, don't sing, Daddy, because, you know, it would make us sleepy and we would fall asleep. But over time, as things went on and with the burdens and of a family and, you know, and life and work and everything else, Daddy stopped singing. And so after my mom died, he started to sing again. And in July, when I went home for my dad's 90th birthday celebration, he had a dream then that he had been working on, and he shared it with me. So, and so I have an audio of something then that I want to share with you. And this is what he gave to me. This is at his church.
To thee. how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods on forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the bird and feel the gentle breeze. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, yes, and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
This was my dad's dream for me to hear him sing like this. Many, many years in the coming. But so, you know what? We all get to dare greatly. You know, Daddy turned 90 on the day after he sang this song. We all get to dare greatly, no matter who we are, what our age, what we do, or what we have done in the past. You know, we get to be drawn in a close, unguarded, vulnerable way. You know, being open and revealed. Was that not open and revealed? You know what? And life really, truly is not about the destinations then that our dreams and goals that they get us to. But it's really about the incredible gifts then that we learn continuously along the way of our journey. So, what's your dream? You just heard my dad complete one of his. And standing here in front of you today, I just completed one of mine. God bless you.